Hello, everyone, and welcome to Leap of Faith Podcast. I'm Lorraine. I'm your host. And today we are in episode 121.5. And today is Friday before Mother's Day. So my verse of the day is going to honor moms. But we'll get to that in just a minute. So thank you for being here. Always glad to be leading you in this wonderful Bible study. We are in the middle of 2 Kings and deep into the different kings that reigned over Israel and Judah. It gets a little muddled and, you know, trying to figure it out. They cross over. This one started in the year of that one. And it's, yeah, to me, it's a little confusing and it's hard to keep up with. So if you're finding that it's a little difficult, don't feel like you're out there alone, because you're not. It's a lot. It's a lot to study. And, you know, people go to seminary to learn how to do this stuff and to understand what the history of Israel was. But I find it very important, especially in light of what's going on in Israel right now. You know, here we are in May 2024, and I can't remember, it's almost 200 days since the attack on Israel from Hamas. And I'm not getting political here by all means. I'm just simply stating facts of what happened. And so there's a lot of stuff that's going on over there. And I think that in order to understand what's going on over there, you have to read the history. And so here we are in the thick of it, reading the history. So I'm not going to delay. I'm going to go ahead and pray. I'm going to give you a Bible verse, and then we'll get right into it. So let's pray. Heavenly and Holy Father, Holy God, we come to your throne with hearts of thanksgiving and gratitude. We exalt you, Lord. We lift you up and praise your holy name. We're so thankful that you're our holy God in heaven and that you have it under control. You have a plan, and we know that all will happen according to what your will is. We are merely just being obedient children and trying to do exactly what it is that you want us to do. So, Lord, thank you for always watching over us and taking care of us. And of course, we are most grateful for the gift of your Son Jesus, his sacrifice on the cross, and the blood that he shed for our sins, Lord. We don't deserve it. We didn't do anything to earn it, because it's just because you loved us so much that you wanted us to have eternal life in heaven with you. And the only way to get there is through Jesus. So, Lord, thank you for providing that pathway for us. Lord, I lift up those, well, first of all, I'm thankful for those who are out there listening. I thank you for bringing them to this podcast. I don't know what your purpose of this podcast is, but I just keep doing it because you have not shown me to not do it. So I'm just going to keep on going until I hear otherwise. But thank you for those who are faithful listeners. I thank you for those who found us. And I pray over each one of them as they navigate life. I don't know what their needs are. I don't know what their circumstances are, but you do. And I just pray, have your way with them, whatever that might look like. I pray that they are looking to you for guidance and direction, and continue to look for your pathway. Lord, I'm honored to be able to lead this Bible study. I thank you for your word. Your word is precious. It is holy. And we hang on every word that you put into this Bible for us, this manual of life. So thank you so much for allowing us this time in your word. And we ask you to join us in this time in your word. We pray that you will deliver to us what it is that we're trying to understand from it. It's a lot of names. It's a lot of kings. And Lord, we're just asking you to help us to understand. Lord, take us where you want us to go. Let us meet the people you want us to meet. Let us say the words you want us to say, and keep us out of your way. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, Bible verse that always comes to mind for me is from Proverbs 31. I know that there is a ministry out there. I think it's Lisa Turkhurst, Proverbs 31. And to me, the second half of Proverbs 31 is all about the noble character of a wife, which of course usually leads to being a mom. So this one is Proverbs 31, and it's 25, 26, and 27. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instructions with kindness. She carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. I love these three verses. This describes a good and godly woman. You know what? We're not perfect, but we can only try to fill our lives and our family's lives with this kind of a godly woman. You have strength, you have dignity, laughing without fear of the future. You know why we laugh without fear of the future? Because we know God is in control and he's going to take care of it. We try to speak with wise words. We try to give instructions with kindness. I'm the first one to admit it. I was a hard mom. I was tough. And, you know, sometimes, you know, my temper got the best of me. I'm just going to say it out loud. If anybody out there has got that going on, you know, it takes seasoning and a lot of praying. And I was a baby Christian when I became a mom. And so I was still in the learning process. So poor Joshua got the brunt of, you know, me trying to learn to be a good Christian and a good mom and a good, you know, Navy wife, you know, trying to juggle all those balls up in the air. Anyway, I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying, if there's anybody out there who feels like you are inadequate as a mom because you let things get under your skin or you let your temper get away from you, you know what? You ask for forgiveness. If you're teaching your children to be obedient and ask for forgiveness for what they're doing, you have to be able to be humble enough to ask for forgiveness too. You know, we're not perfect. And so I'm just saying, so don't feel bad if you're falling short, because every mom does. I don't know any perfect moms out there. We do the best we can with what we have. And then she carefully watches over everything in the household. Don't we all? I'm still watching over everything in the household. Even when they're not in the house, I'm still watching over. And we suffer not from laziness. We're always busy all the time. So, you know, every once in a while I'll sit and play a game on my computer and I'm like, I just have to just clear my head. And I do. And then I get to it and I start getting the stuff done. All right. So we are episode 121.5. Uzziah rules in Judah. This is chapter 15 in 2 Kings. Where is my... Oops, hang on a second. Lost my highlighter. There it is. All right. Uzziah, son of Amaziah, began to rule over Judah in the 27th year of the reign of King Jeroboam, the second of Israel. He was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 52 years. His mother was Jechaliah from Jerusalem. He did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, just as his father Amaziah had done. But he did not destroy the pagan shrines, and the people still offered sacrifices and burned incense there. So this is like three kings that haven't gotten rid of the pagan shrines. The Lord struck the king with leprosy, which lasted until the day he died. He lived in isolation in a separate house. The king's son, Jotham, was put in charge of the royal palace, and he governed the people of the land. The rest of the events in Uzziah's reign and everything he did are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Judah. When Uzziah died, he was buried with his ancestors in the city of David, and his son Jotham became the next king. Zechariah rules in Israel. Zechariah, son of Jeroboam II, began to rule over Israel in the 38th year of King Uzziah's reign in Judah. He reigned in Samaria 6 months. Zechariah did what was evil in the Lord's sight, as his ancestors had done. He refused to turn from the sins that Jeroboam, son of Nebat, had led Israel to commit. Then Shalem, son of Jabesh, conspired against Zechariah, assassinated him in public, and became the next king. The rest of the events in Zechariah's reign are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. So the Lord's message to Jehu came true. Your descendants will be kings of Israel down to the fourth generation. Shalem rules in Israel. Shalem, son of Jabesh, began to rule over Israel in the 39th year of King Uzziah's reign in Judah. Shalem reigned in Samaria only 1 month. Then Menahem, son of Gadi, went to Samaria from Tirzah and assassinated him, and he became the next king. The rest of the events in Shalem's reign, including his conspiracy, are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. Menahem rules in Israel. At that time, Menahem destroyed the town of Tepoah and all the surrounding countryside as far as Tirzah, because its citizens refused to surrender the town. He killed the entire population and ripped open the pregnant women. Oh my gosh, that's awful. Menahem, son of Gadi, began to rule over Israel in the 39th year of King Uzziah's reign in Judah. He reigned in Samaria 10 years, but Menahem did what was evil in the Lord's sight. During his entire reign, he refused to turn from the sins that Jeroboam, son of Nebat, had led Israel to commit. Then King Tiglath-Pileser of Assyria invaded the land, but Menahem paid him 37 tons of silver to gain his support in tightening his grip on royal power. Menahem extorted the money from the rich of Israel, demanding that each of them pay 50 pieces of silver to the king of Assyria. So the king of Assyria turned from attacking Israel and did not stay in the land. The rest of the events of Menahem's reign and everything he did are recorded in the book of history of the history of the kings of Israel. When Menahem died, his son Pekahiah became the next king. Pekahiah rules in Israel. Pekahiah, son of Menahem, began to rule over Israel in the 50th year of King Uzziah's reign in Judah. He reigned in Samaria 2 years, but Pekahiah did what was evil in the Lord's sight. He refused to turn from the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and led Israel to commit. Then Pekah, son of Remaliah, the commander of Pekahiah's army, conspired against him. With 50 men from Gilead, Pekah assassinated the king along with Argob and Arya in the citadel of the palace of Samaria, and Pekah reigned in his place. The rest of the events in Pekahiah's reign and everything he did are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. Pekah rules in Israel. Pekah, son of Remaliah, began to rule over Israel in the 52nd year of King Uzziah's reign in Judah. So he reigned for 52 years, and we are now in the 52nd year of King Uzziah's reign. He reigned in Samaria 20 years, but Pekah did what was evil in the Lord's sight. He refused to turn from the sins that Jeroboam, son of Nebat, had led Israel to commit. During Pekah's reign, King Tiglath-Pileser of Assyria attacked Israel again, and he captured the towns of Ijon, Abel Beth Maaka, Genoa, Kedesh, and Hazar. I'm sorry if I'm butchering these names. He also conquered the regions of Gilead, Galilee, and all of Naphtali, and he took the people to Assyria as captives. Then Hoshea, son of Ela, conspired against Pekah and assassinated him. He began to rule over Israel in the 20th year of Jotham, son of Uzziah. The rest of the events in Pekah's reign and everything he did are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. Jotham rules in Judah. Jotham, son of Uzziah, began to rule over Judah in the second year of King Pekah's reign in Israel. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. His mother was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. Jotham did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight. He did everything his father had done, but he did not destroy the pagan shrines, and the people still offered sacrifices and burned incense there. He rebuilt the upper gate of the temple of the Lord. The rest of the events in Jotham's reign and everything he did are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Judah. In those days, the Lord began to send King Rezin of Aram and King Pekah of Israel to attack Judah. When Jotham died, he was buried with his ancestors in the city of David, and his son Ahaz became the next king. You know what? Let's go ahead and keep going. 122.1 is this next episode, so we're going to just keep going, because I'm kind of curious, and it's a relatively short chapter. Ahaz, son of Jotham, began to rule over Judah in the 17th year of King Pekah's reign in Israel. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. He did not do what was pleasing in the sight of the Lord his God, as his ancestor David had done. Instead, he followed the example of the kings of Israel, even sacrificing his own son in the fire. In this way, he followed the detestable practices of the pagan nations the Lord had driven from the land ahead of Israel, of the Israelites. He offered sacrifices and burned incense at the pagan shrines and on the hills and under every green tree. Then King Rezin of Aram and King Pekah of Israel came up to attack Jerusalem. They besieged Ahaz but could not conquer him. At that time, the king of Edom recovered the town of Eleth for Edom. He drove out the people of Judah and sent Edomites to live there as they do this day. King Ahaz sent messengers to King Tiglath-Pileser of Assyria with this message. I am your servant and your vessel. Vassal. What is a vassal? Let's go look that up. Oh, it means son. Interesting. Come up and rescue me from the attacking armies of Aram and Israel. Then Ahaz took the silver and gold from the temple of the Lord and the palace treasury and sent it as payment to the Assyrian king. So the king of Assyria attacked the Aramean capital of Damascus and led its population away as captives, resettling them in Kir. He also killed King Rezin. King Ahaz then went to Damascus to meet with King Tiglath-Pileser of Assyria. While he was there, he took special note of the altar. Then he sent a model of the altar to Uriah the priest, along with its design in full detail. Uriah followed the king's instructions and built an altar just like it, and it was ready before the king returned to Damascus. When the king returned, he inspected the altar and made offerings on it. He presented a burnt offering and a grain offering. He poured out a liquid offering, and he sprinkled the blood of peace offerings on the altar. Then King Ahaz removed the old bronze altar from its place in front of the Lord's temple, between the entrance and the new altar, and placed it on the north side of the new altar. He told Uriah the priest, use the new altar for the morning sacrifices of burnt offerings, the evening grain offering, the king's burnt offering and grain offering, and the burnt offerings of all the people, as well as their grain offerings and liquid offerings. Sprinkle the blood from all the burnt offerings, all right, and sacrifices on the new altar. The bronze altar will be for my personal use only. Uriah the priest did just as King Ahaz commanded. Then the king removed the side panels and basins from the portable water carts. He also removed the great bronze basins called the sea from the backs of the bronze oxen and placed it on the stone pavement. In def- In deference to the king of Assyria, he also removed the canopy that had been constructed inside the palace for use on the Sabbath day, as well as the king's outer entrance to the temple of the Lord. The rest of the events in Ahaz's reign and everything he did as recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Judah. When Ahaz died, he was buried with his ancestors in the city of David. Then his son Hezekiah became the next king. Okay, I think, and I'm not sure, but if I'm remembering right, I think in Jeremiah, I've been reading Jeremiah, I think Hezekiah is in Jeremiah. It is so hard to keep up with all of these kings. It's so crazy. I'm sure there's like a special way that you can probably learn about all this, but I'm just not there yet. I don't think I have the time to set aside to do another Bible study. Again, like I said, if you're feeling like this is a lot to take in, you know, I believe that every word of God needs to be read. I kind of committed to that back in, what was it, 2019? And here I am, and I feel like I get to know God even better. You know, the fact that these people, the Israelites, are continuing, these kings are continuing to do what is not right in the sight of God, and they're not taking down the pagan shrines, and they're, you know, they're doing all this stuff, to me, is, you know, looking back, it's easier, you know, what is it, if hindsight is 20/20, I mean, it's very clear to see, excuse me, as we're reading through this, it's amazing to me that it's very clear that they should be turning away from those ways. But you know what, point a finger back at ourselves when we're in the middle of it and we're doing exactly what we're not supposed to be doing. You know, somebody else is going, why are you doing that? Somebody else is looking at us from the outside and saying, what are you doing? So anyway, that's it for today. I'm running a little bit long on this. Sorry, this is my son calling in. Running a little bit long, but as always, I will not let this moment pass where I will say the prayer of salvation for anybody out there who has not committed their lives to Jesus. This is your moment. If you feel like, first of all, if you made it to this time on this particular podcast, then maybe that's God telling you this is your moment. I'm not saying that I have anything to do with it. It's all about God. I just happen to be, you know, a facilitator. So I am going to say the prayer of salvation. I hope that you say it with and become a Christ follower. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, today I put my trust in you. I am not perfect and know that I have sinned against you. Please forgive me. I thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. It's his perfect and spotless blood that covers all of my sins, past, present, and future. On this day, I accept him as my Lord and Savior into my life and will live for him. Thank you for my salvation in Jesus' name. Amen. If you said that prayer for the first time, congratulations and welcome into the family of Jesus Christ. You're now a brother or sister in Christ. You're adopted in. It's a day of celebration. I always say this. Somebody's been praying for you out there, so tell them that you became a Christ follower and you're a Christian now. I always, and Jeremiah, recommend that you get to a church, find somebody there, a pastor who can help you navigate, answer any questions. We always recommend that you get very involved with your church, either mission work or ministry, Bible studies, volunteer, whatever God has put on your heart, pray about it, and he'll tell you what you're supposed to be doing. He gives you talents and gifts to use, so go use them. We would love to hear from you. If you did become a follower of Christ today, you can email us at LorraineLeapOfFaithPodcast.org or JeremiahLeapOfFaithPodcast.org or message us on Facebook, Instagram. We would love to hear from you. We would love to pray for you. Whatever you know, we can do from over the internet. So that's it for today. As always, it's a blessing for me to be able to lead this Bible study. I don't know what time of day it is, morning, noon, or night. It could be next year. It could be 10 years from now. I don't know how the internet survives in 10 years. I'm not a prophet, so I have no idea what it's going to look like. But if you found this, there's a reason. There's no accidents. There's no happenstance. It is real. And God is real. And he led you here. So God bless you. Have a great day. And I will see you tomorrow.